Thank you for joining us today for another sermon podcast from Flushing Community Church. We desire to experience the transforming love of God and share it with others. It's our hope that you will find today's recording encouraging for your personal journey of faith. Let's join Pastor Terry Bate as he shares another message from God's Word.
Good morning, everybody. How many of you got up to shovel your driveway before there were any lines on the driveway? Anybody? Bless you, OCD people. Yes. It was all I could just to drive on it without shoveling, but I had to do it today. We are glad you're here. I looked out the window last night and thought, oh my goodness, and then wee hours of the morning I heard the ice hitting the side of the house and I thought, oh no, and I woke up this morning and couldn't find my sidewalk and I thought, oh, what do we do? But I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here to experience the Lord and to be together. I almost put out on social media today, if this were a Monday, you would have gotten up early to get to work on time. But I just decided to leave that alone. So thank you. You are the faithful ones. Thank you for being here. And I walked in here and I realized that whoever set up this weekend was planning on a smaller crowd because of our weather. So we've got you nice and tight, and it's good. Good to be here on this day. We're in week 5 of this series called Equip. We have been journeying through this understanding of what we believe to be a well-rounded, healthy follower of Christ who, according to the Scriptures, according to this passage we're going to look at in just a second, is being equipped to do the work of the ministry. Let's look at this from Ephesians chapter 4. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers to equip you, the saints, for the work of ministry, for the building up the body of Christ. One of the things, when Mike shared some of this with me months ago, because our spiritual life team was forming this idea together, I said, I think it's going to be really difficult, Mike, for the people to see themselves as saints. Do you understand what I mean by that? Like, when I think of saints, I think of the people who have done extraordinary work in our world, and the church, after their death, recognizes their extraordinary work. That's what I think of saints. But Scripture doesn't look at saints that way. Scripture looks at as all of us as saints. And so we want you to wrap your head around the idea today and throughout this series and throughout our teachings that will come beyond this, that you need to see yourself as a valuable commodity in the kingdom of God. Some of you are like, you have no idea where I've been. You have no idea what you're asking me to think of myself as. And I'm saying, I don't need to know that. What I want you to know is that Scripture says you are a valuable commodity in the kingdom of God, so much that we would label you a saint. It's a difficult thing to task, to come to task with. The spiritual life team has formulated all of this saint talk into this wheel that's on the back of your insert. It's been kind of redesigned by our spiritual life team. Some of this material was kind of created by others, but we've taken it and made it our own. And knowing God is right in the center of all of this. Everything points to Him. So our summary is, if this is your first Sunday with us and you've not been a part of any of these messages, a month ago we started about knowing God. What does it mean to really know God? Not know of God, not to know about Him, but to know Him. And you can know Him. And then we went on, talked about the Bible. Pastor Mike helped us understand how we approach the Scripture is really, really important. We then looked at the importance of doctrine. We began to build a wall with the various doctrinal statements of our faith that we believe are to be our foundation of truth. Last week we looked at how Scripture points at real life issues. It helps us navigate every issue this life could ever throw at us. It's an ancient book. It's a compilation of writings of men and people that were inspired by God. It is perfect for everything we need to know to understand our path to Christ. And the reality is that book helps us with every life circumstance that you could ever come across. I want to challenge you today as we look at this morning, this idea of identity. I want you to have your bulletin insert out. I want you to open up your YouVersion app if you like using that and open up the event that's there. You can follow along with some of the Scriptures. I'm going to read a song lyric in a little bit. That's listed there for you, so there's resources there for you. I encourage you to listen for that voice of God today as we journey through this idea of identity together. I'm curious, what labels do you use to identify people in your life? I mean, you're gonna leave this place. There's labels even that you would use for friends and people here. But you're going to go to work. You're going to have experiences this next week. What labels would you use? For some people you would come across, you'll say, they're my friend. You would label them friend. For some people you would say, they're just a colleague. We just kind of keep it right there. There are some people that you might see on the TV screen tonight watching a football game, and you'd say, hey, they are a star. You might label one a goat, and that's not an animal. That's greatest of all time. Okay? So sick of hearing about goats. It's football. All right? Just because he went to Michigan. All right. I'm done whining about it. Okay, here we go. Some of you are going to label people as family, right? I thought of labels in my own life, but what labels get stuck on you? What labels would you say people would use to identify you? I thought of several. I've got some labels I'm going to stick on me today. The first one is going to be my name. Terry. This is a label that when you've gotten to know me, you call me by my name. I like my name. He knows my name. Terry. Now, my parents were really, they were really wise because, you know, they didn't know if I was going to be a boy or girl, so they always have boy or girl names ready, right? We do this. So they came up with my girl name. I was going to be Terry one way or the other. Some of you didn't get that. All right. I thought of another label. This is kind of an interesting one. I'm a part of families. I am a part of a family called the Paxtons, the Booths, the Groves. But because my father's name was Bate, I get identified with this name, Bate. Right? But I'm a part of multiple family units. That's the beautiful thing of one of the things I'm really growing to enjoy. And these labels are not wanting to come off very easily today. I'm not even sure that is a label. Let's see here. I might have wrote that right on the package. The things you try to prepare for when preaching. Got to talk to my parents for an hour yesterday driving home from Everett. And just, I love the label son. I love being able to communicate with those that have been around me since my very first breath. There was a day about 24 years ago or so that I got a new label. Husband. A day that I chose to marry my wife and stay married to her through good and bad. Then there was a day about 19 years ago, I got a new label. Father. And that was a pretty challenging and crazy moment, right? And I love it when you kind of go from being father to something a little bit more intimate when they look at you and call you dad or daddy. Isn't that cool? You know that for moms as well, just that they can say dad before they can say mom. So you get bitter about that. One of the labels I love the most and cherish the most is friend. I want to be viewed as not, you know, a certain role in your life, but I value the role of being friend. And I am humbled and honored to bear for you. Oh, when I preach this message again, I won't use these labels. I'm honored when I get to be called pastor. Now, I prefer Terry for you than pastor, but this is a humbling label for me. To be know that God called me for a specific role in your life. Now, there's some bigger labels, I think, that we can put on. Yeah, and I'm going to take these off at some point because some of you are going crazy that they're not aligned or straight or written with good handwriting. But there's this one label that I love, Christian. I love and value this in so many ways. This is near and dear to my heart. But the reality is that someone can call themselves a Christian, somebody else can call themselves a Christian, and they look vastly different, right? Christian's kind of a broad term, and so Christianity can take a different look in various corners of our world. I also cherish this label. Not all of you will, but that's okay. We're a part of a denomination that I've been raised in, that's taught me about Jesus, that's taught me about how to live a life of holiness and to pursue Christ-likeness. And so I'm a proud Nazarene. But again, I don't expect everybody to carry these same labels. But one label I would say I hope that we would all be so excited to carry, and that is beyond Christian and beyond Nazarene, but a disciple. A disciple, a follower. But more than that, because see, I think we're all followers of something. I want to be considered a disciple of Jesus Christ, and not just Jesus Christ, a good man, not just Jesus Christ, a prophet, not just Jesus Christ, a man filled with knowledge, but Jesus Christ, Son of God. These are some of the labels that I want people to put on me. These are labels that you might find in common with yourself. And I didn't practice disrobing these labels either. But these are some of the labels that you might find in common with me. You might say, I would wear that label. I want that. What labels come into your mind when you think about how people may identify you? Some of your labels are going to be very different. As a matter of fact, I would say this, no one in the world has the same set of labels as you. No one. You are unique. I want you to, if you're following along in the insert, I want you to write this down. Your identity is unique. I spent some time yesterday driving home from Everett. I had to drive some kids up Friday night, and so I spent the night up there for their winter retreat and then drove home yesterday, and so I was in kind of an area where I couldn't get the normal radio stations I listen to, country, and so I was flipping around the channels, and I came across a guy who was giving his argument for why faith and science actually go together, that they're not opposed to one another, but that they go hand in hand, that they always have. But in recent days, when I say recent days, the last several decades, there's been this fight against science and faith, but for a long time they haven't. And he was talking about observed sciences, where when you really look at who we are, you see how we are uniquely designed. It's fascinating. The closer you look at science, the more it actually screams Creator. David was no scientist. He was just a shepherd in ancient times, but he understood the heavens because he slept under them many nights when he was out with his sheep. He understood lots about the earth because he lived off the land. More than that, he trusted God's perfect design for his life. And he wrote these words in Psalm 139. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. A beautiful picture of what David in this ancient time understood the pre-creation aspect of our lives to be, that God knew. David reveals in this passage to me that our identity truly is unique, that before your first breath was taken, God had plans and purposes for every one of you. He made you unique to do a job. And that's often easy to see, and at times it's also very difficult to see. Many of you understand this because we understand that children are born today with some significant hurdles to climb. Some of you have children that are trying to climb those hurdles. Some of you have grandchildren trying to climb those hurdles. And it's in those dark times where you find it difficult to understand that God could ever have a plan or purpose for this. But He does. He does. Sometimes it's difficult when we have a loved one or even ourselves battle depression or addictions and self-doubt, and it torments us, and we say, how can God have a plan or purpose for this? But I want you to understand today that He does. He does. It's perfectly normal to question our identity. I question it. You have. We all do. But we must always return to the understanding when questioning our identity, that our true identity can only be seen when we see ourselves through the lens of our Creator. When we see ourselves through the lens of our Creator. Any other lens is just kind of through human perspective, and it's always going to leave us unsatisfied and incomplete. A human lens only can look at the outside. It's built around human understanding. It's not built around the eternal kingdom perspective that God wants to offer. See, David wrote those words that I read for you just a few minutes ago, but when he was quite young, still a teenager, his brothers were lined up in front of the prophet Samuel. Samuel had come to his home, his father's home, Jesse's home, to anoint the next king of Israel. And so they lined up the brothers in front of Samuel. And Samuel was looking at them from a human perspective. All he was told was, one of these men will be the next king. And he went one by one, labeling them from a human perspective. Well, this one's tall. Well, this one's handsome. This one's strong. And he went through and he just kept labeling the brothers based on what he could see. And then God, through the Holy Spirit, through His own voice, whispered these words in Samuel's heart. Don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. I have always thought this is one of the most powerful statements in Scripture, because I am so limited to see the motives of people. And my job is to work with people and to try to help people, but I can never see the inside unless God gives me some insight, some wisdom from Him. See, our identity is not found in our birth order. That's how Samuel was approaching Jesse's boys. Our identity is not even formed in our exterior look, our physical appearance. That's again how Samuel was kind of approaching this. Our identity is not even found in our intelligence, our capacity for intelligence. That's not where our identity is found. Our identity can only be discovered in our heart, in the center of our soul, which is the very connection to where we find God. That's where our identity is discovered. This past Thursday, I spent 9 hours listening to stories of men and women who are being considered for ordination in the Church of the Nazarene, a part of the Eastern Michigan District. I get to serve. It's a blessing for me every time. I go there going, I can't believe I have to do this today, but I always leave going, that was amazing. I get to serve on a board of ministry that interviews annually those who are in training, and then they come to this last interview where they've met all their requirements for education, all their requirements for service, and now it's, will we ordain you as an elder in the church? And we listen, and we interview, and we ask difficult questions. There was a man that was our first one of the day, and Jim was an older guy. He's in his later 70s, in fact. He was called just about 7 years ago, and he enrolled in Nazarene Bible College online and worked really hard to get all of his education done. I will tell you this, Jim didn't give us all the right answers. He didn't articulate our position on some doctrinal things just exactly the way we would love to hear them. But I will tell you this, Jim knew exactly who he was. And it spoke to us. It grabbed all of us on this committee. Let me introduce you to him a little bit. He was a self-made business owner of a roofing company. He had employees, he had buildings, he had vehicles, and a really nice home. His first wife left him. His second wife passed away from cancer. He had a bad kind of road in behind him. He raised two small children all by himself, but he would be honest with us and say that while he wanted to depend on God, he really didn't have a relationship with God at all, so he depended on the bottle and on cigarettes to get through every day. He always dressed them well. He always got them to school, but he was depending upon substances other than God or even himself to get him through each day. Someone cared enough in Jim's life to introduce him to Jesus, and he experienced forgiveness, but he lacked transformation. He found forgiveness, but he really didn't embrace it in the sense of being transformed quite yet. So Jim went throughout his life just continuing to lean on alcohol and lean on cigarettes, even though he was trying to discover what forgiveness really was for him. He found another lady who was a great follower of Christ, and they decided to find a church where they could go to, and they went to Fowlerville Church of the Nazarene, where they began to grow in God's mercy and love, and the power of the Holy Spirit began to really work in Jim's life. And she said, listen, it's the booze or me, you know, and he cut out the alcohol. He couldn't quite let the cigarettes go for quite some time, but he began to listen and really pursue the things of God. When the market crash took place, he lost everything. He lost most of his business, most of his vehicles, most of his buildings, and he lost his home. When God was doing was stripping him of everything he thought was his identity and stripped him from all of those things to where he was left with just nothing. And many of us could go through that same experience. We talked about this a little bit last week. We could go through an experience like that and be so angry at God and curse him for allowing that to happen. But instead, they begin to get on their knees and pray. Can I share with you one miracle that took place in their life? Just one. One miracle was that they went to their Sunday school small group and they said, "We are going to be out of our house in just a few months. We are praying that God would give us a home. We have no money. We would never get financed. We have no idea of how to do this. We are praying that God would give us a home." And everybody in that faithful class said, "You are nuts. Wouldn't you? Give you a home?" Well, there was someone on our campground, which is just outside of Howell, Michigan, that was selling a very modest home, nothing big, and they ended up having someone else buy that house and give it to them. See, they began to put themselves out there and say, "We are not just going to be self-made, self-built, and dependent upon money." They began to say, "We're going to be children of God. And if God can lay this on our hearts, then maybe He will provide." And yes, He will. And He did. So everybody around that committee started praying for a free house. God can do amazing things when we just say, "I'm yours." Even at 60 plus years of age, he learned how to get on the computer. His wife wrote, admittedly, typed and wrote some, all of his papers. They worked on this together. They're a unit. And he quoted something that was very powerful in his interview that I wanted to share with you. Matthew West has this song called "Mended." You might be familiar with it when you hear the lyrics. You're probably going to hear it on the radio this week if you listen to Christian radio at all. I put a link to it on our Facebook page this morning. He quoted this song through tears. "When you see broken beyond repair, I see healing beyond belief. When you see too far gone, I see one step away from home. When you see nothing but damaged goods, I see something good in the making. I'm not finished yet. When you see wounded, I see mended. You see your worst mistake, but I see the price I paid. And there's nothing you could ever do to lose what grace has won." This is a man transformed by God who left the cigarettes, left the alcohol, and gave everything to God and is a changed person. I wish he could stand here with me today. It's a powerful thing. But it's something we've seen in Scripture all along. When God saw Abram, he didn't see just another farmer. He saw a man who could be a father of a mighty nation, even at his older age. When God saw Jacob, he didn't see a spoiled son. He saw a strong spirit ready to lead. When God saw Simon, he didn't see just a fisherman, and I don't think he was probably all that good at fishing. Every time we saw Simon, his nets were empty. Right? But he saw, so he didn't just see him as a fisherman. He saw a bold, faithful fisher of men. In every case, God wasn't worried about where they had been. He wasn't worried about what they had done. He was worried about where they were going. And there's power when we recognize that God is not interested in your past as much as He's interested in your future. See, in Christ, my past doesn't matter. My future does. I want you to hear that. I want you to fill in those blanks in your insert. My past doesn't matter, only my future does. See, Abram, Jacob, and Simon didn't stay who they were. They became Abraham, Israel, and Peter, and they changed the world through their identity in God. Too often our identity, though, is found in our failures and our heartaches. We feel unworthy. We feel unusable. Certainly for people around us, but definitely for the kingdom of God. We just write ourselves off way too fast. But that's because the source of our identity isn't what we have or in what we don't have. When we look at the source of our identity in what we have or what we don't have, we will feel unworthy. We will feel useless. But that's not it. That's not how this functions. we need to be looking at what God has for me moving forward. See, that song lyric continues to go on and says, so hold on, it's not the end. This is the element of hope. No, this is where love's work begins. And I'm making all things new, and I will make a miracle in you. West sings the song, I see my child, my beloved, the new creation you're becoming. You see the scars from where when you fell, but I see stories that they will tell. You see worthless, I see priceless. You see pain, and I see purpose. You see unworthy, undeserving, but I see you through the eyes of mercy. That is powerful lyric and powerful truth for us today. Paul was writing to the church in Corinth about his personal identity shift in his own life. You know, it's kind of the new cultural thing we have, right? That we can just change our identity whenever we want. We can change our gender. We can change our looks and our hormones and our name, everything. We can just change it. Paul went through an identity change long before it was cool. He didn't do it in the way that I'm talking about with our culture, but he went through a critical change because before Jesus, Paul would have been labeled as a persecutor of all Christians and a stout defender of God's law, period. He was willing to kill followers of Christ. But he went through a change because Jesus came into his life and said, you're no longer yours. You're mine. You are mine. The believers of the day struggled to believe that it could be true, but God took the biggest enemy of the church and made him the greatest and most effective missionary, church planter, and communicator of the gospel the world has ever seen. That's an identity change. And in the fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians, he wrote, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive His new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. I underline that. We have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know Him now. Verse 17, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old is gone, and the new has begun. That's powerful words for us today, because I think many of us walked in this place today feeling self-defeated, frustrated. Some of you are miserable in your marriage, miserable at your jobs. You're not sure what the future holds. Your financial security is big time in question. And you don't know whose you are. But today I want you to know that when you put your life in Christ, you are not the old person. You become someone new. You are transformed from the inside out. God wants to do a brand new work in you. He is giving you a new life. Are you experiencing that today? Are you experiencing a new life? A new joy that comes from being identified with Jesus? Are you excited to share about all that God is doing new in your life to people around you? Or are you shamed and embarrassed or quiet or feeling unworthy or don't have the right words to say, so I'll say nothing at all? There is so much to be experienced when we identify ourselves with Christ. When we lean into His identity of us rather than the one that we've created in our own heart and mind. God wants to shape your identity not through a human perspective, but from an eternal kingdom perspective. And you know what He also wants to do? He wants to shape the identities of the people around you the same way so that you will not just look at other people with a label. You will look at them as a brother or sister in Christ, that you will be able to extend forgiveness, that you will be able to extend relationship, and you will see all people, even the ones that drive you craziest, you will see them through the eyes of Christ. That is a new identity. That is a new life. You cannot do that on your own, friends. I've tried. You cannot do that on your own. Only the work of the Holy Spirit in you can do that. Pastor Steve is going to come and kind of lead us in a final song today. It was actually playing on the radio as I was driving here. I can't make this stuff up. And I was like, this is good. The first verse says, "You have given us a new name, the sons and daughters of your righteousness. You have taken all our shame and given us the gift of holiness." The second verse says, "You have given us a new hope, an anchor for the soul that shall not fail. Jesus, we believe your truth shines, yet, yes, in the darkest night, you shall prevail." I don't know if you've come in here today feeling defeated, unworthy, or feel like you don't fit in here. But I want you to hear the truth today that is so life-changing. You do fit in here. Because all we are is a group of broken people who are being mended and put back together by the power of Jesus Christ. Look at the person next to you and say, "You are one messed up person." You can do it. You are one hot mess. Tell them. Stand with me, will you? Let me pray. Stand with me. God, thank you so much for giving us a hope and a belief that what we know and what we see is not the end of the story. But you are shaping us and doing a new thing in who we are. God, where we've been is only formative in our life of where we're going. But you are going to take our past and you are going to redeem it and use it. And you're going to point people to you because our identity is not in who we see, not in what we can observe, but it's in your eternal kingdom. Through our challenges with our children, the difficulties, the frustrations, the deficiencies, the questions of why they have to suffer, all of that can be answered. And understanding our identity is unique and it's found in you. Help us to lean into that truth this day as we sing this song. In Jesus' name, amen.
Additional downloads and resources are available by visiting flushingcommunity.org. Join us this Sunday as we gather to experience God's transforming love together.